This is a Squiz Kids podcast. Your fresh take on what's happening in the world around you.
They ran for almost 12 centuries. Greeks came from all across the ancient world to watch and to compete, and they celebrated athletes who were fast, strong, and in the nude. This is your Squiz Kids shortcut to the ancient Olympics, the podcast where we dive into the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the big news stories. I'm Christy Kidgerina.
And I'm a fully clothed Bryce Corbett.
Oh, Bryce, unless you've been on a deserted island lately, you'll know that the Paris Olympics are scheduled to start on July 26 or July 27 if you're in Australia.
Oh, yes, Christy, I know. I've got my green and gold outfit all sorted. I've made my pom-poms and my alarm is set for 3:30 on Saturday morning, Australian Eastern Time, so that I don't miss the opening ceremony.
Oh, wow, Bryce, you really are into the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
But did you know that the modern Olympic Games that we have today have a very ancient history?
Well, yes, Chrissy, they've been going for as long as I can remember.
And yes, they started many, many, many years before even you were born, Bryce.
That really does make them ancient. Today, we'll walk you through when the ancient Olympics happened, what sports the athletes participated in, and who competed in these ancient games.
Listen carefully, there'll be a squiz at the end.
When?
To get where we're going to need to travel back in time, like really far back.
Aha, okay. Should I put my seatbelt on?
Oh yes, most definitely. Because we're going way back to 776 BCE.
Whoa!
I know. That's almost 2,800 years ago.
Wow.
Are you ready?
Yep, let's go.
Whew! That was a rocky ride.
Oh!
Bryce, could you get the door, please?
Yeah, of course, Christy. My pleasure. Oh! Where are we?
This, Bryce, is Olympia. We've landed in southwestern Greece. Beautiful, isn't it?
It is stunning. It's all countryside and rolling hills. And, Christy, are those olive trees?
Yes, I might grab one.
And what about those buildings over there? They're huge.
Wow.
All those stone columns and that statue. Who is that?
Oh, yeah. So I'm glad you asked that one, Bryce. That there is the ancient Greek god Zeus, the king of all the gods.
Wow.
His home is Mount Olympus, and that's why this place, Olympia, is dedicated to him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I know, it's amazing. And it's pretty peaceful here at the moment, but just wait a little bit because it's about to get hectic.
Okay. Christy, you said this is 776 BCE, right?
That's it.
Isn't that the year when the first Olympic Games were held?
Bingo! You got it.
The ancient Greek Empire was enormous at the time, and people travelled from all across it to attend the Games. They came from what we now know as France, Spain, Italy, Turkey, and even Russia. At its peak, more than 50,000 people from across the Mediterranean made their way to Olympia for the Games.
They did. And it was so important that even wars were put on hold to allow people to get safely to the Games.
Wow.
Imagine 50,000 people right here.
Amazing.
That's a lot of people to feed.
It certainly is, Christy. And if you're a vegetarian, you might want to cover your ears for this bit. On the third day of the Olympic festival, the Eleans, the local folk who organised the Games, gathered together 100 cows. Now, they sacrificed those cows at the altar of the Temple of Zeus, leaving just a little bit for the god himself. The rest of it was cooked up and shared with all the people who came to watch the Olympics.
Wow. So it was like an enormous barbecue?
Yes, exactly, Christy. And after all that travel, a big feast was just the thing for all of those spectators. But what, Christy, had all of these people come to see?
What?
So, Bryce, way back in 776 BCE, when things kicked off, there was only one event, the Stadion.
Right.
It was a sprint that was about 180 metres long, the length of the Olympic Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And can you guess where the event got its name?
Let me see. It was called the Stadion, so I'm guessing it was a lap of the stadium.
Uh-huh, that's right. The race was launched with a trumpet's blare. And up to 20 runners would bolt down a dirt track with officials at the start and at the finish to ensure fair play.
And over the years, they added other events. Different running distances, long jump, discus, shot put, javelin, chariot races, which are buggies that the athlete stands in and pulled along by horses. And, of course, a sport called pancration.
Pancration?
Yep.
Okay.
Pancration is an ancient martial art that combines wrestling and boxing. And its name comes from the ancient Greek words pan, which means all, and kratos, which means might or power.
So it literally means all of the might?
Yep.
Ah, okay. Well, it's believed that the mightiest athletes with the greatest strength and stamina were the pancration fighters.
Yeah, that's right, Christy. By ancient accounts, the pancration event was the crowd's favourite sport. Although it's not in the modern Olympics, it's like a precursor to modern mixed martial arts. We've given you a link to the World Combat Games pancration event for you to check out. Now, Christy, I'm a bit embarrassed to bring this up, but I've got to call out the elephant in the room. Did you say at the beginning of the podcast that the athletes were naked?
Yes, I was wondering when we'd get to that. So it didn't start off like that. But as the story goes, one day a runner lost his loincloth, that's like his undies, during a race. Yep, it tripped him up.
Oh dear.
So it was decided that all competitors would perform better without clothes holding them back.
Oh.
But it's actually more likely that clothes were a symbol of status, meaning that people could tell whether the athletes were rich or poor. And being naked put everyone on an equal playing field, kind of like team uniforms today.
Well, all I can say is thank goodness for uniforms. And, Christy, there were no prizes in the ancient Olympics either, other than being awarded a crown made of olive leaves and a red woolen ribbon, representing Nike, the goddess of victory. There were no trophies or money handed out, but when the winners returned to their home states, victorious athletes were superstars. They would have statues carved for them, coins minted with their images on them, poems written telling of their heroic feats, and they were given special status in their towns. So, we know a lot about what went on at the ancient Olympic Games, but who, Christy, were these athletes?
Who? Well, Bryce, I'll start by telling you who the athletes weren't.
Okay.
They weren't women.
What?
I know. Women were banned from participating in the ancient Olympics.
Ah.
Some people say that unmarried women were able to attend as spectators, but even this is disputed by the ancient sources.
What is that about?
Mm.
But one woman managed to outsmart these rules. Kyniska. Ooh. The daughter of the king of Sparta won the four-horse chariot event in 396 and 392 BCE, even though she didn't attend the games.
What? How did she manage that?
Because she owned the horses, so she was recognised as the winner of the races. Talk about horsepower.
That's pretty clever. The rules stated that competitors had to be free men because they had slaves back in those days.
Okay.
And they had to be Greek citizens, but they could be from any level of society. They could be shepherds or soldiers, farmhands or philosophers, or even members of royal families.
And that kind of equal opportunity is a philosophy that is carried through to today's Olympics. And I'm sure everyone listening knows at least one or two athletes that they'll be cheering for over the next couple of weeks. So, do we know about any of the other ancient Olympians, Christy?
Yes, great question, Bryce. There's a few who stand out. There was Milon of Croton, a six-time Olympic wrestling champion.
Wow.
Now, Milon was enormous and quite the showman. One day, he carried a whole cow on his back into the Olympic sanctuary. I know, and then he killed it and ate it all in one day.
What? That's incredible. Then, of course, there's Theagenes of Thasos. He was the king of the Pancratian, and he's said to have won 1,400 wreaths, those are the crowns of leaves, in various games throughout his career.
Whoa.
Now, one of his rivals was so frustrated with always coming second in the competition that he beat a statue of Theagenes every single day, and he did it so violently that one day the statue toppled over and killed him.
Oh, that sounds like something out of a Greek myth.
I know.
Or stupid deaths from horrible histories.
Yes, exactly.
But we know these games eventually came to an end. How did that happen?
Well, Christy, after almost 1,200 years, the final ancient Olympic Games were held in 393 CE.
Uh-huh.
Now, historians don't agree on a single answer as to how the ancient games ended. They do agree that the Roman Empire conquered Greece in 146 BCE.
Right.
And about 60 years later, Olympia itself was invaded and looted. Oh. And that means that things were broken and stolen from the sanctuary. Flooding, earthquakes, and fire damaged the buildings in Olympia, and barbarians from the north were invading too. Some believe a Roman emperor banned the games because he was a devout Christian and he didn't want an event honouring Greek gods. And there could be something to that theory, but there's no proof.
And while the focus of the ancient games was fitness and athleticism, the core values of fairness, peace, and education that were held dear by the ancient Greeks were evident too. They're the very same values we see in the modern Olympics today.
Aha! And hold your horses there, Christy. The modern Olympics are what we'll be talking about in next week's Shortcut. Now, in the meantime, where did we leave that time machine? Because I've got to get back and get my face paint on. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
Time for the quiz.
This is the part of the podcast where you get to test how well you've been listening. Question number one. Which god did the ancient Greek games honour? Yeah, well done if you said Zeus.
Question number two. What was the first event of the ancient games? Nice listening if you said the stadium.
Question number three. What did the Spartan princess Kyniska win without setting foot in Olympia? Yeah, that's right. She won the chariot race.
Yeah! Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us as we explored the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the ancient Olympics. Teachers, there are excellent classroom resources related to this topic on the Squiz Kids website, and there's a link to them in the episode notes.
Now get out there and have a most excellent and fully clothed day.
Over and out.